Welcome back, SB Nation DEC Podcast, Half Smokes Radio. Scott Jackson here with you. Also, Sam Chamberlain, SB Nation DC editor, Charlie Walton, SB Nation DC contributor, and our pleasure to bring in the Redskins editor for SB Nation DC. Daniel Schiffrau joins us here. And Dan, as you pointed out in your blog this week, could not have been a better start and better than anybody could have ever imagined for Robert Griffin III and the Redskins.
Yeah, I mean, it just went beyond all rational expectation. I think most people expected Robert to do pretty well, but at the end of the day, the Saints would score more points, and at some point, Robert would throw a critical interception or have a critical turnover. But that is not how it went at all, and I think everyone across the country in the NFL universe is completely stunned.
Now, Dan, how surprised are we that the Redskins actually put up a 40-piece, considering they didn't score more than 30 points all of last season?
They haven't scored 40 points since 2005. And how about that for your, for a guy who's supposed to be in his first ever NFL game? So that was stunning. I mean, if you told me that the score would be 40-32, I would have told you, well, I'm surprised the Redskins were able to even put up 32. But the Redskins were the ones that put up 40 points, and it was just incredibly, incredibly impressive. I mean, obviously the 40, the last score was obviously set up by a DeJuan Gomes interception that put the ball at the 3-yard line, but 40 points is 40 points, and the Redskins haven't scored 40 points in a while. So, it is a big deal.
Talking to Daniel Schiffrau, if you go on dc.sbnation.com, he has five things. His five things to take away from this game are up. They will be up this week. They're up every week after every Redskins game. Dan, in one of your five things, you singled out the defensive front seven for praise, just the way they made New Orleans so one-dimensional. I don't think I ever heard the name Darren Sproles called at all on Sunday. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think what they did was they stopped the run immediately. And basically, you know, you figured at some point Drew Brees was going to have to take over the game. And usually that's when the Saints put up the numbers that they usually do. But instead, the Redskins were able to generate pressure both by the blitz and not by blitzing and by just playing coverage. And it was really remarkable to see because it was Stephen Bowen on one play batting balls down, Barry Cofield generating pressure, Ryan Kerrigan, Brian Arakpo. And even the sack totals, I think that they only finished the game with two sacks. But it's about the pressure. It's about getting the ball out of his hands quicker than he wants to. It's about forcing errant throws. And obviously he had one big one to DeJuan Gomes. It's about, you know, having him basically give up on a play and throw it at a guy's feet, which he did a couple of times. That was huge. That was absolutely huge. And that's how you beat a guy like Brees, because he's so fast in the pocket. That's one of the big ways he can compensate for being only 6 foot even, is the fact that his feet are just so quick, and he's able to kind of just slightly avoid the rush, but the Redskins got to him.
We're here with Dan Schiffrau talking about the Redskins' win over the Saints, here with us on SB Nation DC Podcast, also Half Smokes Radio. Dan, also, you look at the game plan that was devised for Robert Griffin III. The Redskins, you know, obviously kept this in bubble wrap in the preseason. They showed it in the bubble during the walkthroughs in the morning. That's where they worked on a lot of this stuff during training camp, which was obviously open to the media but couldn't be talked about. It was taboo to do so. You know, and then to see them run it as effectively as they did, also another surprising part of it, but also the flexibility of the game plan and the Shanahans. How important do you think that is for what is being tried to be achieved here with this organization?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. And I had a chance to go to, you know, some of the practices, both in mini camps and OTAs and during training camps, and you saw right off the bat what they were trying to install. And it was pretty clear that it's essentially a hybrid between Baylor and what they were doing down there, running the option, a lot of spread concepts with, you know, what we would identify as the traditional Mike and Kyle Shanahan offense with the zone blocking scheme, boot action, rollouts, movement within the pocket. And it's sort of an interesting blend there because, at least in this past game, they didn't throw everything at him at once, but they still kind of showed a little bit of everything. Straight dropbacks, three-step, five-step, seven-step drop, pretty much everything that you would expect from a traditional NFL offense, plus the extra wrinkles. So it's really important because clearly Robert's comfortable with it. It's something he does well, something he did well at the college level. And, you know, this is the old Donovan McNabb argument, and Mike Shanahan's proving them wrong. Donovan McNabb said he never got the offense tailored to his skills, and that's exactly what Mike Shanahan's doing now for Robert Griffin III.
And that's exactly what they're doing. Now, going forward, they face St. Louis on Sunday, another road game for RG3. What type of performance do you expect for him to have? I mean, obviously, I don't know if he'll go 19 for 26 again, but does he keep the no interception streaks going for two straight weeks, or what do we expect, Dan?
Well, first of all, the New Orleans Saints defense is not up to par comparative to the Rams defense. I mean, Jeff Fisher's in his first year there in St. Louis. They have much better personnel. They just re-signed James Laurinaitis, one of their big pieces on defense. They signed Cortland Finnegan to a big contract, who had a pick six actually this past weekend against the Detroit Lions. So they have a much bigger test as far as the type of defense that they're going to be going against, because I don't think they're going to score 40 points. I think it's a little irrational to think that an offense is going to score 40 points a game. But I think this is probably going to be a lower scoring affair. And then on offense, you have to deal with Steven Jackson, and they're going to try to run the ball, and they're going to try and keep the Redskins' offense off the field. So this one is going to be more of a test for Robert, because they do have a better personnel on the defensive side of the ball, and they can get after him a little bit. So that'll be interesting to see, because he was pressured a little bit this past week, but, I mean, we have to be honest and say the New Orleans Saints defense is just, especially in their first year under a new defensive coordinator, just isn't very good right now.
Dan, how many plays did it take you Sunday for you to get sick of the replacement officials and just get ready to lead a labor march down up Park Avenue to the NFL offices to get the regular refs back?
I think NFL fans across the country, or NFL media, everybody just is so quick-triggered when it comes to the officials and the replacement officials. If they see anything wrong, I mean, everybody's ready to make a joke. But, yeah, I mean, I think there were a couple calls in there that you had to wonder. I think there was a fumble on Jimmy Graham that they called down by contact, or rather a forward progress was stopped, which was not true whatsoever. That was a fumble, and the Redskins recovered. And that was kind of questionable. You saw some other calls later in the afternoon. I think in the Seattle game, you saw them giving him an extra timeout at the end of the game, which could have really cost the game and given Russell Wilson an extra chance there. That was not good. And then you saw some other examples across the league. You know, it's a little bit of an interesting situation, and what's interesting to see is Mike Pereira, the former head of officiating, who's now the Fox analyst for these kind of things, he's consistently criticizing calls, and it's just blatant. And he's almost offended. You can almost hear it in his voice. So that is kind of an interesting perspective for me, who's sort of, you know, the layman when it comes to what is always the correct call and what is not. But, yeah, this replacement official thing is definitely an issue.
Mike Pereira, by the way, a former replacement official himself, people might want to point out. But I will say this, they have been bad. The games have been longer and slower. There's too many stoppages. The coach's patience level is about at a zero right now with these guys, too, because the games matter, jobs, money on the line. So it will be interesting. I know they keep scheduling through. They keep telling you how far ahead it is. Part of that, too, could be negotiations through the media. That's fine. What have you. Hopefully this thing will get done and we'll see better things ahead in terms of the officials. But been a fun start for the Redskins, Dan. I know you got to be excited covering the team and seeing this stuff happen, and look forward to reading your five takeaways each Monday after the games, and looking forward to this Monday after the Rams game.
All right, yeah, no problem, guys. It's fun. It's fun covering a team that can put up 40 points.
All right, Dan, thank you so much. Daniel Schiffer, our Redskins editor, with us here on SB Nation DC podcast and Half Smokes Radio. And yeah, it is fun when your team can score, isn't it? I mean, isn't that what you see it all around the league forever, and you hadn't seen it with this Redskins organization in so long. It was a refreshing Sunday for sure.
You can only take too many, you know, I think that San Francisco game at home last year was the nadir.
Brutal.
Luckily, I happened to be out of the country for that one, so I was able to miss seeing that one. But pulling up 11 points at home against a it's been a long way from that day to this where we're sitting right now. Just a quick note on that Rams game. This from our SB Nation Rams blog, the folks over at Terp Show Times. Redskins a 3-point favorite.
Ooh.
Redskins a
3-point
road favorite.
Who would
against the St. Louis Rams on Sunday? Oh yes. This is what he does. This is what Robert Griffin III could do.
He puts up the 40 piece, and now they're favorite to win on the road.
How about that? By the way, many things people have discussed with this game plan. One of the big things was keeping Robert Griffin III clean, so to speak, in 8 of his 31 dropbacks. He felt pressure only 8 times in his 31 dropbacks.
Wow.
Partly because of that quick release, some of the one-step, two-step drops, you know, a lot of the things just getting the ball out of his hands. Now, he did run the ball, and I heard a lot of people freaking out about this, the 10 carries for 42 yards. One was negated by a run, so it was actually 11 carries. But the thing was, he did, even though awkward as it looked, get down and slide.
Oh, he slid.
And avoided getting hit, at least.
I mean, he saw anything that looked like a white jersey. He was on his way down.
Yeah.
Even if he was in the backfield, he was down.
He's very alert. He's a very smart kid. He's not going to be like Michael Vick and start diving head first and stuff like that. Don't see it.
He made great decisions. And not to mention, on the 88-yarder to Garcon, he stood in there. You know, stood tough, took the hit, and delivered the throw, and then he watched him run 88 yards.
I think that was the hardest hit he took all day.
That was. I think that was the hardest hit. And, again, Evo Shields got a lot of money invested in making sure he stays upright in that midsection because that's what they're protecting. So
stock's up a quarter point today, I understand.
I believe it.
And real quick, how about Billy Cundiff going 4-for-4 and hitting a 45-yard?
Oh, yeah. We talked about the newcomers. We forgot to mention Billy Cundiff. Sav Rocca showing great alertness with the rugby-style kick, which unfortunately got called back for an eligible man downfield.
Yeah.
But it's the quickness, the instincts that count, really.
Exactly,
because
it would have been a broken play. You just got to save it to redo it, because otherwise, you know, they get the ball there if you don't make that play. Well, coming up, we'll get into the Nationals. Patrick Reddington, the blog runner for Federal Baseball and Nationals editor for SB Nation DC, joins us. It is the SB Nation DC podcast and Half Smokes Radio.